A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from Talk Sport. Game Day, your verdict.
It's been another jam-packed day in the Premier League. Liverpool made it 7 out of 7 with a 1-0 win at Bramall Lane. A 10-man Spurs hung on to beat Southampton 2-1, and goals from Gabriel Jesus, Mahrez and Sterling gave Manchester City all 3 points against Everton at Goodison Park. You've had your say on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. Here's the very best of your thoughts from the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Matt Holland, and your verdict with me, Laura Woods, Trevor Sinclair and Darren Bent. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Right, let's get straight into it then, and we'll go to Bramall Lane first, where TalkSport's Sam Matterface spoke with a very disgruntled Chris Wilder following his side's 1-0 defeat to the league leaders, Liverpool.
Chris, is a difficult result to accept when you've played so very well in the game. How have you consoled Dean Henderson and your team?
I've not. I've told him there's a massive missed opportunity, and I believe that. You know, whether we caught the champions of Europe on an off day, whether our organisation and shape, you know, frustrated them. You know, we were never going to go toe to toe with them, and we were never going to go open up and make it a game of basketball because we got murdered. So we feel their big chances have happened because of our mistakes, and whether our big chances were their mistakes, we need to take them. And yet again, both ends of the pitch have cost us. Dean's, you know, not made a routine save, and you know it absolutely I crack up when, you know, ex-players say, well, you shouldn't chuck your players under the bus. Well, it's difficult to hide when you're playing worldwide football in the Premier League that your goalkeeper should make a save, and Leon Clark should score, John Fletcher should score, John Lundstrom should score, and we've had another couple of opportunities, and so I expect that level of commitment from my team, and I expect, you know, a level of performance, but big moments. Norwich were brilliant 3 weeks ago. Man City had an off day. Norwich jumped all over them. Three shots, three goals, and ended up winning the game of football. And did brilliant. We've had the same opportunity against an absolute top side to do what Norwich did, and we've not taken it.
And there's no point, I suppose, in your view, of being sort of like happy about the fact that people will give you plaudits for the way you played. You've come out with nothing, and ultimately in this division you need points.
Sam, we're in here for points, aren't we? We're in here for points, and we've done that against Leicester, and we've done that against Southampton, all three home games that we've lost. You know, in my opinion, I've got rose tinted glasses, and I'm not a spin doctor, you know, and like I said, you know, difficult to hide away when things happen. Like I said, it's worldwide, and players they want to play at the highest level. They got to take the criticism and the exposure that happens. And if they want to be players at this level and want to keep going and make a name for themselves, then we got to take the big moments, and we haven't. And so it's been a great day. It's, you know, European champions coming to Bramall Lane. The atmosphere's been fabulous. You know, the exposure that it's get. But come on, you know. Play well and win, or play well and get a result, and that's we're in this division not to make the numbers up. We're here to compete, be competitive, which I believe we can, and to take points, which we haven't.
When you said that to your players, how did they respond?
I'm not really bothered. I didn't think I'd give them time to have a look around. I just, that was me, in and out, done, and then back to work on Monday.
In terms of the support that you had today, I mean, it was a great noise here. I mean, it was almost suffocating at some point. How much of an advantage does that give you, and how much of a leveller is it? Is it a leveller?
Yeah, it cranked it up. As I said, maybe, you know, I'm sure you're going to think Liverpool have had an off day. And there's a couple of things that happen in that, you know, as I said, the noise that our supporters have created, I'm made up for them, you know. They deserve this day. And the level of performance, the shape of the team, you know, we were organised. And as I said, I think that their opportunities came first half with our two midfield players getting in a tangle. Basham misses one second half, and obviously the goal comes from that as well.
Do you need a bit more confidence in front of goal?
I think we just need to have a little bit more belief, because, you know, they're routine situations that I've seen them Monday to Friday in the Championship for 2 years. That ball's in the back of the net. So, you know, we've got to make sure that we don't get phased by playing in the Premier League. The pitch sizes don't change. The situations don't change. We've worked great situations. Now, as everybody talks about, is the quality that decides tight games. And we've not shown that quality to decide a tight game. And they've pounced on a mistake that's decided a tight game.
I'm actually ringing up about VAR. I mean, it, you know, it was a tough game. We expected that. Missed two big chances, Salah and Mane. But VAR, it's just a complete joke. Again, we've had a stonewaller. I've just seen a few clips on YouTube there. Richard Keys, Andy Gray, David Moyes over in Qatar. Stonewall penalty, they've said. Steve McManaman, the lads on BT Sports, stonewall penalty. VAR are basically just rubber stamping poor decisions on the field by the referee. Until the referee goes to the side of the pitch to see the views, the angles that we see, this is a complete waste of time. So for me, I think they should bin a lot until the referee is prepared to come. And as they did in the World Cup in Russia, view the angles that we see. Because every time, we had one, Joel Matip against Newcastle, dragged down, going to head it ball in, you know, from a corner, from a cross, dragged down by the neck. VAR looks at it, didn't even say to the referee, have a look at this here at the side of the pitch, mate.
Tony, you don't want the game to be stopping for 2 or 3 minutes while the referee comes over to the side of the pitch, though, do you?
No, I don't. So to make sure that doesn't happen, we need to scrap VAR completely.
Well, that's not going to happen, though, is it?
Well, OK, we're going to have a complete mess now. We're going to have a complete mess because the VAR referee, he's supposed to be a video-assisted referee. I believe, video-assistant referee. He's not assisting. All he's doing is rubber stamping poor decisions. So until they grow a spine at Stockley Park and say to the referee, you need to view this. We're not saying he needs to view every incident, but it's clear and obvious. We were told it was going to stop clear and obvious mistakes, and it isn't doing that. It isn't doing that at all. The lads are all, you know, you look on YouTube, they're all saying it, all the broadcast networks, they're all saying it's a shocking decision. But we're seeing too many of them, and until they come in,
let me just ask you this, Tony. I know the incident you've talked about. I watched it a few times because I really needed to make a firm decision on it. So those that haven't seen it, let me quickly describe it. Sadio Mane is in the box, obviously. He's got the ball at his feet. He's run onto a ball. As he's about to kick the ball, the Sheffield United player comes in with a sliding challenge. He's not particularly high, but his studs are showing without a doubt. And Mane, as he's kicking the ball, the Sheffield United player doesn't touch the ball at all. Mane, as he's kicking the ball, basically kicks the bottom of the Sheffield United player's foot. So,
correct.
I personally, it's Lundstrom, isn't it? I think it is a penalty. And I cannot, for the life of me, I can see why the referee might miss it, Tony. But yeah. I can't understand why the VAR wouldn't have a look at that and instantly say penalty, other than this high VAR bar, which is an utter nonsense.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll reiterate what I said there to Matt. I'm not saying that we need to view every incident, but when it's clear and obvious, you were in the World Cup, eh? It worked great, didn't it? There was a few bad ones, but in general, when the referee went to the monitor, it was usually because it was clear and obvious. And this isn't clearing up any of these clear and obvious incidents now, because until they stop rubber stamping the wrong decision on pitch by the referee who's officiating at the game, this is just going to go on and on and on. It's ridiculous. It's not working. Now, we either have to do this properly or can it completely can it until we can do it properly. Now, other countries seem to be doing it okay. Germany's doing it, you know, particularly well. But over here, we're making a backside of this. This isn't working.
I tell you, Tony, thanks for the call. I've never been a fan of VAR. Everybody knows that. But once it was in, I was prepared to accept it. But we weren't ready for it. They did not have it ready at all. And that's another incident that proves it.
And yet they spent last season sort of learning and trying to get it so that at the start of this season it was going to be right. it isn't perfect and it is going to take time to get it absolutely right. I think they probably will. I think next season it will be better, but it is still very much a learning curve in my eyes.
Well, congratulations. Another 3 points. The relentless run continues, but it was pretty difficult for you today. How difficult was it?
Very, very difficult because the opponent is just good. Good organised. I felt today a sensational spirit here in the stadium together with the team. It was really a good atmosphere, fighting, complete fighting unit. And we had to play against that, and they were really ready for us, to be honest. And it didn't become a clicking day where things just happen. You do it and you come through, hit a pass there. We had moments, really big moments, where we could have scored, maybe should have scored. But then Holland was in between and made a sensational save. And I thought we defended the counter-attacks pretty well. There were not too many. They're specific. Way of play involving the center halves for crossing, stuff like this. We did well. We were there. Both wingers were really ready to work hard in these situations, which was very important. Yeah, and then we scored a goal, which was obviously for us lucky, for Sheffield United unlucky. And then we did again well. So directly after the game, you could see after the goal, you could see how it could have looked, because then we were really where we wanted to be. But they blocked shots in the box then and stuff like this. In the last 4 or 5 minutes, injury time, you know, long balls, everything can happen. But it didn't look like, because the boys were then really spot on, cleared these situations. And so, no, that's the result.
Obviously, last season you got lots of plaudits for the way you played, but didn't get over the line and win the title.
I think it was the year before.
Sometimes you haven't played as well this season, but you have got over the line. How important is it they've got that mentality?
Well, good. Yeah, mentality is incredibly important, but I don't see we didn't play that well. It's not about that. You have to be ready to win a game like this. That's football. That means you defend well. And you do attack, but we had chances. We didn't have 10 chances today, but we had, I would say, we scored a goal and we had another 3, maybe not no-brainers, but close to. I would say most of our scores with that situation. Usually in a situation in the first half when all of our 3 passed the ball to the next one at the end, I think all 3 could have scored, but we didn't. That we had this situation. That's how football is in these moments. How I said, winning on a kind of rather average day there's no alternative to it. Usually it can happen, especially after such a long time, such a long winning streak. It happens in moments like this. You have to get the knock. So we didn't get it because we were ready to fight, and that's good football. But I know what you mean. It's about, you have to be ready to play your best football. If that's not working out, then you still have to fight for the result, and that's what we did tonight.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Riyad, that was a fantastic performance. Sometimes as well as the great ability that the team has got, you've got to show great effort as well, and you showed it today.
Yeah, we showed a good team spirit as well. I think it was a tough game. We had the first half, we had a lot of chances to win the game, to kill the game even, and we didn't. So that's the difference between this game and the game against Watford, where we scored the first 5 chances. But we have to go through this game, I guess, you know, and I think it's a very good sign to win here.
What was the message at half-time from the manager?
The message is keep playing. We are playing very good, you know. Try to keep passing, to find the space behind them, and that's what we did.
You scored a crucial free kick. Did you spot that area? Was that the area that you spotted when you lined up the kick?
Yeah, I spotted. I saw the keeper. I saw a little space there. It was difficult to put it under the wall. So I tried to the keeper the side keeper side. I think the little bounce made it difficult for him. So yeah.
Okay. And at the other end, your goalkeeper didn't do too badly either, did he?
Yeah, very good. We know he's a top keeper, and that's why he's at this club, and he's helping us when we need him. He's always here.
So you keep up the five-point gap, as it were, with Liverpool early days, but you must be confident in terms of the way that you're playing at the moment.
Yeah, we're very confident, you know. We never doubt about our quality, our performances. We are very happy, and we have to keep going like this.
That was a proper test, wasn't it, today? A proper
test.
Yeah,
it was a good test for us, but I think we made it. We, like I said, we have to go through this type of game, difficult game, away, and we made a very good performance.
And with that free kick, just give us an idea of how much you have to practice and get that absolutely right.
Well, we have to practice in training. I don't know if every day, but like you have to practice, and you have to find a good area to put the ball, and you need a little bit of luck as well.
It's our third live commentary this evening was City versus Everton at Goodison Park, and it was City that walked away with a 3-1 win in the end, but a good performance from Everton. I just wonder what Manchester City fans think of that performance. Let's go to John. He is a Manchester City fan. John, sometimes, like we said earlier on, when you want to be champions and when you have been champions, you can't get it all your own way, and it's important to grind out wins. Do you think that's what you did today?
Proper grinding out and into it. But what it shows is the frailties. I'm just going to liken it to if you took Virgil van Dijk and one of the front three out of Liverpool starting 11, how weak would they be? Because what we've got is Aymeric Laporte and Sane out of our starting 11. Maybe Sane's not a regular starter, but what I like about it now is Mahrez has settled into Pep Guardiola's way of play. Couple of decisions today in the way of passing the ball or shooting what we should have done differently. I think we had enough to win the game, and I think the result's about fair, but it was a proper Premiership game where we were made to work for everything. But what I thought it highlighted is our lack of height in defence. So teams now are trying to get that dead ball situation against us.
Yeah,
Calvert-Lewin won just about everything in the air.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't
now,
he?
Now, if somebody was working off him, I know it's easy to say somebody a la Aguero, who'd have profited today. It's easier said than done to get somebody like Sergio as a player in your starting 11. I get that. But I thought Jesus, header, very brave. He went in with a goalkeeper. De Bruyne and Rodri is going to be something special in the middle of the park, and hopefully we can get, I know it's in the new year, but Aymeric Laporte back. We've got enough, we can't grumble. We've got players out on loan who are gaining experience, and we've also got some young lads coming through, i.e. Eric Garcia. So hopefully we can get some more game time into him. But he did expose the fact that we are lacking in height on dead ball situations and when they get to the width on us. But saying that, it compensates with Edison. He comes for everything. If it was David De Gea in our goals, they'd have profited today because he's rooted to his line. Edison comes for things. Don't know about the goal. Just looked at it again. Not sure about that. I know it was given, but it looked a bit dubious to me. But Everton deserves to make a... get a goal and make a fist of it, and it made us struggle.
Yeah.
But that's what champions are made of.
Right. So, John, lots of points. There's a couple in there. I know exactly what you're saying about height. Difficult, though, isn't it? Because Yerry Mina is about 9 foot tall. So
yes.
You're always going to look.
6'6".
You're always going to look a little bit short when you're coming up against Yerry Mina. You picked out the goal. You're talking about Calvert-Lewin's, aren't you? About, well, are we calling it Calvert-Lewin's or are we calling it Seamus Coleman's?
Because I'm a striker, so I'm calling it Calvert-Lewin's.
So with Darren Bent's to the right of me, let's just ask him, John, because we were watching it live together, and there were a couple of things that just stood out. Was he onside or was he offside, Calvert-Lewin? And ultimately, it was a Wobi, actually, wasn't it, that got the ball through. City's defence did really well with that. Passed it off to Seamus Coleman on the right. Seamus Coleman's shot went over the top of Edison, and then it was going in. And then Calvert-Lewin, who was in an offside position, then managed to get ahead to it. But it was almost like whether or not he was already over the line when he'd got his head to it. But it's been credited to Calvert-Lewin. First of all, when you say it was dubious, which part of it for you was dubious?
If Calvert-Lewin's name's on that goal, that's what's dubious.
Yeah.
If it was Seamus Coleman whose name's on the goal, I don't have a problem with it.
And is it and because you think he was offside?
Well, clearly. So if Calvert-Lewin is having his name credited to that goal, I get you, Darren, I understand. but what I'm saying is, I think very brave by Iwobi in the first instance. He's gone in there where it hurts and it matters, and he's shown his mettle and he's come through. I know the ball squirts out, I get that, but Seamus Coleman for a fullback, that's just a nice little dink, isn't it? You know, yeah. You're not expecting that in the locker of a fullback. So I think if Calvert-Lewin's name stands against that goal, that's offside. If it's Seamus Coleman's, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tight. It looked really tight, the Calvert-Lewin. I mean, obviously he's put him in there, and as you're saying there, if it's Seamus Coleman, it's a great finish. Because then he's a fullback, it's a great finish. But when you obviously look at the replay, it's tight whether he's offside or not, but it's clearly Calvert-Lewin's goal because the ball doesn't cross the line. But I want to pick up what he said there about defensively, because I think that is the only place at the minute where Manchester City look a bit frail is at the back four, because they look like they are getting out jumped and out muscled, and it has been difficult for them. But I think in strength and depth, I think the biggest positive Manchester City fans can take away from today was that it was a tough game, but they came through it. And do you know what I mean? They didn't play at their absolute best, which we've seen them play, but they've still walked away from Goodison Park, which is a hard place to go, by the way, and win 3-1 in the end pretty comfortably. So it can't always be like plain sailing and easy and this perfect football as they've shown for a while now. But for them to go to Everton, not play their best and win ugly, I think that was a massive positive. And without a kind of a makeshift back four with, you know what I mean, Fernandinho having to play centre-half. I mean, I think that's a massive 3 points, I do.
Yeah, it was, a good game, a good football game for spectators, for everybody. They played after our first goal and the goal we conceded, they played good. We had the problems to control Sigurdsson in that position and our left side, we had the problems. But the way we started, the second half that we played was so good. Of course, we conceded set pieces, free kicks, corners, so it's difficult, but to control them because they are taller and stronger than us. But we play so good, and the way we play football was fantastic.
And your goalkeeper made two great saves as well. Not often we talk about him because you're on the attack so much, but he had a really good game.
Yeah, Ederson is an extraordinary keeper, so he saved two with 2-1. But before we had chances, we arrived there in ideal situations for our wingers, and after we could not be more clinical, for example, last game when we play. But it's good.
Everton haven't been in great form recently. Did they surprise you?
No, I knew it. The game we lost. Football is like this. Sheffield came here, two shoots on target, two goals. They shoot 14 or 15, they lost. So we fought 15 in Norwich. The Norwich shoot three. We beat them, and they won the game. So football is like this. At the end, is what happened in the box last game. Our first five shoots and target, five goals. So football is most unpredictable. But the way we are playing is not just today in the Champions League, in the Carabao Cup, and most of the games it's so good. We are playing at a high level.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Watford lost yet again, 2-0 at Wolves. Matt was there. Let's hear from the Watford manager, Kike Sanchez Flores, with Talk Sport's Jeff Peters.
Well, Kike, your difficult start continues in the league, another defeat. What are your thoughts today?
Today I have the feeling that we conceded an easy goal in the first half, and then was difficult for the team because it's difficult. At the moment you go down in the end with the score, everything's more complicated. We are a little bit weak in that moment. We are conceding easy goals. We were not expecting about that after the war during the week. But anyway, now we know how is the moral of the players. When we concede one goal, they went a little bit down. But we tried to support them. We tried to give a lot of recourse to try to change the situation.
So you started the second half quite brightly.
Yeah. But Anyway, in general, I know that we have more possession than the opponent. We shoot more than the opponent, but I don't like this is not the kind of team we are looking for. We are looking for another team more strong, more compact, making pressure for the opponent, trying to even to use well the velocity of our strikers. If we want to do that, we need to be stronger in defense. We need to be more compact. We need to be more good in the pressure. So this kind of things is important. We try to win or lose with our style. The problem is we are looking for our style.
I suppose it sums up when things are going not too well for you that you end up scoring an own goal like that.
Yeah, yes, but it's happened. I didn't live this kind of situations too much with teams in the bottom, with this, with no confidence and everything. But I can imagine this, what happened when it's not the confidence is not so good, it's not so high. So I can imagine that it's possible when you are in the situation more closer to the draw. And finally, you can concede one on goal. No, I think this kind of situation is negative things around. So it's possible it's happened.
And you've obviously come in cold. You've not had the pre-season with the players. No. So how difficult is it for you?
But I accept the pressure. At the moment, I came here to Watford. I know that this team, we need to fight a lot to try to avoid the situation. We need to, many games to play. We have many. With the squad, we have amazing fans, so all these kind of things we need to change, and it would be amazing, dreaming, that one day we are able to go to the team for another level. So this is now, if we want to change for this level, we need to suffer right now together.
There you go, Kike Sanchez, as far as the Watford manager after they were beaten 2-0 at Molineux. Let's go to Molineux. Matt Holland is there. Jeff Peters has been talking to the players and reporting on the game for us today. Were Watford chins on the floor as they left Molineux today?
Yeah, there's a real frustration and disappointment. They are struggling at the moment. It just seems that nothing is really going right for them. I made the point to Kike Sanchez Flores there. Well, he brought up the fact that they had more possession. I think it was about 60-40. They had more than double the shots that Wolves had. They had more shots on target. And they scored an own goal. So I think that kind of just sums up the malaise around the place at the moment. But with Flores, he's only been in charge for 3 or 4 games. So he's still new to it. And he is, well, I say new to it, obviously he's back at the club for a second spell. But certainly in this time he's coming, I think there's still an amount of positivity about him. He still believes that he can turn this around. But it is a really poor start to the season on the back of what was, of course, a very weak end to last season as well.
Is there any sign from what we saw on the pitch, and I'll bring in Matt Holland here as well, Matt, I mean, was there any sign that Watford, I mean, people keep saying to me their players are too good, they're not going to go down. Did you get that impression today?
No, I didn't. I thought Wolves weren't particularly great themselves. A lot of the game they were in second gear, and I still feel as though they've won reasonably comfortably. You know, for all that chat about the better stats, Watford, they didn't really do an awful lot with the ball. A lot of the shots came from distance. Patricio wasn't particularly tested.
Can I ask you, you know, was there any point in that game where you thought, Watford are going to get something out of this?
No, not at all. I mean, Wolves were comfortable. You know, they're quite happy not having the ball. You know, Wolves, that's the way they play. They like to counter-attack, sit back and hit you at speed and they looked more threatening than Watford did all afternoon. As I say, Patricio wasn't tested. He made one mistake where he dropped the ball at Cleverley's feet, but he was quick to react and made the block at the second attempt. And that was the only time I thought that Watford might actually score in the game.
And some of the set pieces were awful, weren't they?
The quality in the final third, the delivery. You know, from I think Hollybass, left side, he's got a decent left foot, normally puts a decent ball in. Some of the set pieces he had, some of the crosses he had, overhit. Into nobody attacking the ball. Defensively, they look a shambles. I mean, flat at times. Dawson and Cathcart with the two centre halves today. You know, what you want is one attacking the ball, one covering round. They were both very flat, no pace, couldn't get back, and Wolves got in behind them at will. And so I'm worried about Watford at both ends of the pitch. And at the moment, they are where they deserve to be, and they you don't see them getting out of it at the moment.
And I just wonder whether the lack of Troy Deeney is a bit of a problem, because he's a leader, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I said when you're at the bottom of the table, what you need is character. You need people who are going to fight, roll their sleeves up.
Cojones, as Troy would say.
Well, whatever you want to call it, and he's got it.
Yeah.
They desperately need him back fit and leading the line and you know, scrapping as well, because you know, it isn't pretty at the moment. Things aren't comfortable for them, but they played comfortable today. It was like, oh yeah, we played some nice football, we played through midfield, lovely. But there was never any real bite about them, whereas Deeney does offer that at the very least.
Adrian, I was talking to some of the local Watford media who obviously see them a lot more than we do. They see them on a regular basis, and they just trotted out the old cliche: in the Watford team, too many prima donnas, not enough Maradonas.
Let's speak to Mike, who's a Watford fan. Mike, you've changed manager, you still can't win, you're still bottom, battered last week. What on earth is going on at your football club, Mike?
I've got to change that voodoo doll, Aidy. Let me just run through these stats, because I didn't go today because I couldn't for work, but 61% possession, 14 shots compared to 6 on them, 5 shots on target compared to 2 of them, 6 corners compared to Wolves having 1. This is, you know, when we had, just a reminder, we had 31 shots against Arsenal, and we can't put the ball in the back of the net. So, something is fundamentally going wrong on the training pitch. I know we've got a problem with the back four. We all know that. And I've been criticised by my own mates saying, you're being a bit too hard, you're being a bit too hard. I said it from day one, from game one. I've come on your programme, which I'm very grateful, and I've said it to you guys. There is a problem there. There is. This is more than just a manager. There is a fundamental problem there. And if you've got those type of stats now, in a couple of games consistently, all right, and the Man City one was nothing like, but I mean, certainly when they are sort of playing against teams where you think, well, you should have some sort of competitive spirit in you, it's just not happening. And until we sort that out, this is not going to change.
Matt, you've watched the game. I mean, yeah. The stats say Watford probably should have got something out of it.
Well, exactly. I went through the stats here. The fact is they have more the ball, more shots, etc., etc. But I never thought they would score. You know, Patricio was rarely tested. There was one cross on the far post which he made a bit of a mess of, actually. Dropped it in front of Cleverley, but it was able to get up and make a save at the second attempt. A lot of the shots are coming in from 30 yards and were fairly routine, really, for Rui Patricio. You know, when you're in the position that Watford are, you want to see players who are going to fight for you, players who are going to, you know, show a bit of character. And I didn't see enough of that today either. You know, they lose the ball and don't track back and try and win it back. You know, in the first half, Saar and Deulofeu didn't track the wing backs. They didn't help Jan Matt and Holly Bass, who aren't particularly quick anyway. And the amount of times, as I said, that they got in behind that Watford defence was laughable. I mean, you know, you're looking for a bit of help from the forward players as well to get back into a shape, and I didn't see enough of that either. When you're at the bottom of the league, you need people who are going to roll their sleeves up, and Watford haven't got enough of those at the moment.
What next? Do you change managers again?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have changed it the first time round, but whatever they wanted to do up in the board side of it, they've done. We've got to get behind the manager, get behind the team. But God, you know, we look so gutless. We look like there's no goals coming from anywhere, and at the moment, we're in a lot of trouble.
Do you think there's one or two players who thought they might not be at Watford this season and are still there? Someone like a Decore who was linked with Everton for big money, Deulofeu maybe, yeah. People like that who thought they might be elsewhere?
I think Pereira, maybe. I think Pereira definitely thought he wouldn't be here. Not sure about the other two. I think Decore, I'm hoping that they said very early on, you know, you're not going anywhere and you're very much part of the club. But it's the same old thing. There's just no... The problem is, guys, and the thing that worries me is we're in a relegation battle. If you look through that side, look through that squad, I don't really pick out anyone that's going to fight and that's going to break, you know, crack someone in half to go and get the ball. And
Troy Deeney needs to come back, doesn't he?
He does, absolutely, yeah. You know, as soon as the better, really, just to give us something.
I just think there's problems at both ends of the pitch, Carl. You know, for all the play you've had today, I think you've had 60% of the ball. Not really look like scoring. Defensively, you look like giving up chances and giving up goals as well. So both ends of the pitch are a big problem.
Yeah, massive problem, you know. And I don't want to pick him out and single him out, but Craig Dawson, you know, since he's come in, he's done nothing for us. And he does look a championship player. And the longer the season goes on, know, the more we're heading into that championship.
Big game next week, Sheffield United at home.
Massive game. Have to win. No question about it. Have to win.
Carl, thanks for the call. Sheffield United, you can safely say, after seven games of the season, are better than Watford. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. And actually, it's really interesting at the bottom of the table, Matt, because Watford aren't very good. Brighton aren't particularly great. Newcastle, many people think they're just going to go. So you could have the three promoted teams. There's a situation there where you might think, hang on a minute, there are three teams worse than the three that got promoted. As it stands, Villa are currently in the bottom three.
It's
Norwich,
early days.
Just Norwich keep on losing games.
Yeah, it's early days. I mean, often, you know, you see the promoted teams have a bit of a burst at the start of the season, and then as the season goes on, you see them fading away and finding their way back towards the bottom end of the table. And actually, two of them are in the bottom four, aren't they? Norwich and Aston Villa. Sheffield United mid-table with those 8 points. But it's going to be a real fight, I think, for relegation this season. There's going to be seven or eight teams who are right in the mix.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Let's have a quick question about Tottenham. Because in terms of their performance today, Trevor, going down to 10 men, people can accuse Tottenham of being liable to, I don't want to use the word choke because I think it's too harsh, although that is the word that's been used a lot with Spurs. But I just think they deserve some credit, because I think those couple of mistakes, the first one, I mean, that goal, Hugo Lloris, as a manager, you can't do anything about that, can you? And then for Serge Aurier to pick up two cards and be sent off, again, you can't really do anything about that. So how much credit should we give Spurs after winning today against a team that they could have folded against?
Yeah, I think you give them credit. You know, you want them to react well after the losses they've had and the start to the season and the manager coming under a lot of pressure. You know, you've had that success getting to the Champions League final last year. But for me, the goalkeeper error, that's an individual error. You can't really expect that week in, week out. You want that consistency. So you can't really expect to be able to avoid them all the time. But for me, Aurier, you know, I think he lacks discipline. I feel, looking at him, I'm always not sure whether you're going to get a consistent performance, whether he's going to be erratic, whether he's going to give fouls away. And, you know, I've never been 100% convinced. So I think on that side of things, he must see, you know, the manager, Pochettino, must see him in training day in, day out, and must be managing him, say, make sure you keep that self-discipline, make sure you keep that control. But time and time again, it raises its ugly head. And, you know, I got two red cards in 600 games, whatever it is, and to see players be so ill-disciplined on the pitch, it's poor.
Yeah. How many did you get, Darren, actually?
Red cards?
Yeah.
None. Yeah, none.
Just, well behaved.
I mean, there wasn't a matter of well behaved. I just kind of, as Trevor said,
you never tackled.
It's just true. Yeah, if I can get a block on, I'll do that. But I weren't flying at the tackles. But I mean, I agree with Trevor what he was saying there about Aurier. I mean, I prefer Walker Peters because I know exactly what I'm going to get from him week in, week out. He's always going to play well. He's good distribution, but like, his attitude towards the game as well, I think, is a lot better than Serge Aurier's, because the last thing you want, especially when you may be going for a bit of a sticky spell, is your players losing discipline and these kind of situations happening. And it was fortunate they got through that one today, but there's going to be times where they're not going to be able to get through it.
But credit to the squad, you know, pulling together under the spotlight, a lot of criticism come their way, and they get over the line, get the 3 points, and hopefully that'll be this kickstart to a better things for Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on them, because there's a lot going on behind the scenes. If you believe what you read at the moment at Spurs, a lot of discontent players. If they can do that, pull together, create a performance and take away 3 points today, it's an important one, isn't it?
What have you read, Laura?
Well, I read an article, and it's out there, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it was an article about players being upset with the training methods behind the scenes. So ultimately, it's an anonymous, as you would expect, anonymous source. I don't like these, Trevor, because I feel like this could be any player. This could be
a snake.
A player behind the scenes who's not being picked in starting 11, or he's out of form, or just isn't good enough, that can easily go to any journalist and say, well, I'm fed up with this and I'm fed up with that. How are you supposed to really, if you don't know who it is, and I understand why you're not going to say who it is, but how are you supposed to believe those comments, really?
Well, you can't, and they can't prove it unless they're going to name the player. So, you know, for me, it's flawed already. But I will say, you know, Pochettino, he comes across all charming to the media. You know, he's a good-looking guy, and he's very calm and calculated. But I can imagine him being unbelievably tough on his players in training.
good though. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that's not what they need.
Absolutely. And you look at Klopp, you look at Pep. All the best managers are like that. So I'm with the anonymous player. Training's too hard.
Do you know what though, Trevor? I'll ask you a question as well. Is be careful what you wish for. If you're that player behind the scenes and you're going to the press, because there's only one reason you do that, it's to heap pressure on a manager. Mm. Who's going to come in that's going to do a better job than Maurizio Pochettino at the moment?
No one. And I think they'll be queuing. Big clubs will be queuing if he became available. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I think the player must be in a situation where he's got no chance of playing, because this, whether it gets out or not, Pochettino will find out at some stage. And when he does, you know, that player's got no future at the club. So,
do you think so? Is that easy to do? Do managers find out when things like this happen?
Yeah, I think managers will find out. You know, WikiLeaks find out about everything. So I'm sure they've got people at the club where they will find out the root of this. And, you know, I think it's such a small industry, the media as well. People will tell certain people, and it can get back. It can filter back into the wrong people's information.
Hugo, that felt like a massive result after what's been quite a difficult couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it was important to show a response after the last few games. Doesn't matter the way we play today, I think we show personality and character, especially after the red card and my mistake. I think we show the togetherness that we used to show, and that's, I think, the most important today, that we got the 3 points and now we are looking for continuity.
You talk about that mistake there. Do you feel you made up for it with those two huge saves in the second half?
Yeah, we know. As a keeper, you can face that type of moment. The most important is how you react to keep your chin up. I was really upset towards myself, but that's normal. But most important is the second half. I stay in my game and I stay calm, and today this mistake didn't cost any points to the team, and that's the most important for me.
Was the result more important than the performance, considering what happened on Tuesday night?
Yeah, when you see the other team, sometimes it doesn't matter to play fantastic football, only the result matter. And when we talk about consistency, it's more about result. The performances will follow for sure, because when you are fully confident, you start to play at one level that you are looking for. So, as I said before, it's just now to give continuity after this game.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Chelsea won today 2-0. Let's hear from Mike. He's a Chelsea fan. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, not bad at all. First home win of the season in the Premier League for Frank Lampard, and he's getting the job done. They're looking all right, Chelsea.
It's interesting, actually, because I said to your research before I came on that it's quite impressive that if you include Andres Christensen today, they had 5 academy players on the pitch at one point in time. And the point about that is that their speed of thought, their ability, their stature is growing as the season goes, and it's very, very early days into the season.
Mike, do you know what? It's actually about time that we saw some of the academy players in the Chelsea side. When you look at the FA Youth Cup record at that football club, when they've won it, what, 6 or 7 times out of 8 years, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they've got so much quality coming through the ranks. It's actually about time that some of these players were given an opportunity in the first team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think every Chelsea supporter, it's been willing it to come for a long while. And it's an interesting atmosphere at the ground because they will make mistakes. It's obvious for youngsters. I don't think it matters so much at the moment because everyone is just so enthusiastic as to what they're seeing.
I mean, it might be that Frank Lampard has consciously thought, I need to get some of these young players into the team. Mason Mount stands out as someone who's more than capable of doing it. But it also smells of being forced upon them because of the ban, and they can't bring anybody in.
Well, I think that's an interesting argument, but I wouldn't agree with it 100% because he could easily have played Kovacic and Barkley as opposed to Mount today. He could easily have played Batshuayi instead of Abraham. He could easily have played a different sort of formation at the back without Tomori. So I understand what you're saying, but there are still plenty of experienced players there that could have replaced the youngsters.
They've done enough, though, to deserve a place in the starting 11, though, haven't they? from what we've seen 100%. So far. You know, yeah. Mason Mount's been excellent. Tammy Abraham scoring goals. Tamori's done well in the side. It won't be long before Reece James gets himself into the team as well. So they've done enough to suggest that actually they deserve their place in the side.
And that's exactly it. The point was, I think that they themselves, when they started the season, you could almost sense a sort of, I'm here, but should I be here? But now they're actually growing into it. And you can actually believe that they're Premier League players. They know they're Premier League players. And to be perfectly honest, today's what we saw, that some of them, the speed of thought, the speed that they can play the ball, and also the coaching that's gone into them, it's just incredibly impressive.
Mike, thanks for the call. Terrific stuff from Chelsea today. And you're right, Mount, Hudson-Odoi came on. Abraham was on the pitch. Tomori, Reece James was an unused sub. And there's others as well. They are good enough. And you wonder if Conte was still there, or maybe if Sarri was still there, would they all be on the pitch? And probably not is the answer.
Well, Frank, first of all, you were craving a home win. You were craving a clean sheet. And you got both today. You must be an absolutely delighted man.
I am. I'm very happy. The first at half time, you're slightly worried because I think we had 17 shots, and at that point you wonder if it's your day. We created a lot, we dominated the game from start to finish, to be fair, and when we got our breakthrough, it didn't feel like we were completely in control, because you're always worried because we haven't had a clean sheet. So yeah, happy on that front, happy for the team, happy for Kepa and the back four and the team in general, because clean sheets are a breeder of confidence, and we got 1-1 today. We were very comfortable.
I need to ask you about this penalty-taking situation, because I'm getting confused. Mm. So against Valencia, you said that when Rott is on the pitch, he takes penalties. Mm. The other night you said Pedro was on the pitch and you'd already told him he was taking them. And today, Jorginho takes them. I mean, at some stage, I'm going to get a penalty. Just clear out for us once and for all.
Jorginho is the penalty taker now. And Ross missed one, and it's not a slant on Ross, because I missed some in my career. Georgie's very confident and made a decision, and he's a penalty taker. Of course he wasn't on the pitch the other day, and hence Pedro takes him. I don't mind in having different penalty takers, but when Georgie's on the pitch, he can take him. If he takes him like he did today, he can keep going.
Absolutely. You've got a massive smile on your face. This is a day when everything worked out for you. Tammy could have had a hat-trick, Mason won a penalty, and even Callum got half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Tammy's performance without the goal was, you know, the crowd really relate to him, because you can see he tries, he holds the ball up, he chases things, and he did that. He did typical Tammy without the goal. I thought Mason was fantastic. Mason's energy, his quality, his changes of direction, his brightness to win the penalty. And yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. I'm pleased. The only thing is, we could have scored more goals. You know, we could be more clinical in the box. That would have made it a much easier afternoon. But it's good. It's a good feeling for the team today. We needed a game like that and a result like that.
You really sound like a proper Chelsea manager now when you're moaning about not getting too many goals. And Lille this week, Champions League, if you can get your Champions League campaign off and running.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a big game for us, obviously, but even more so because of Valencia. You know, we need to try and get points on the board. It's a difficult place to go. They'll be in a similar situation, having lost their first game. So, yeah, it's good to have the confidence. The lads deserve a rest. They can rest tomorrow, and we'll focus heavily on Lille, because we want to do well in everything we're in. It's the Champions League and the ultimate club competition. So, yeah, let's go. Let's carry on from today.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Let's get a West Ham fan on then. Michael is on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good evening, Faye.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. You've got Trevor here. You've also got Darren. You've got me, but I imagine you're going to want to bounce your ideas off the former players more than me, aren't you? What would you like to say, Michael?
Right, I think the resilience that we're showing and the determination and the... I mean, when we went 2-1 down at half-time, we obviously we've made a great start to the game, going 1-0 up. When they sort of go 1-0 and, you know, obviously then it gets, like, it's disallowed and then obviously allowed by what is VAR, you sort of think to yourself, well, OK, it doesn't look like it's going to be our day. But, I mean, coming out and obviously conceding so early in the second half, you know, our heads could have dropped.
Yeah.
But I think we showed really true grit, determination to just carry on.
And we're grinding out results.
And we're grinding out results as well. So,
Michael, who's that?
Yeah, that's one. It's Nikki from, if I'm allowed to say, from West Ham Fan TV.
Oh, hi, Nikki, right?
We
love you, Trevor.
Thanks, Nicky. Love you too.
Trevor, I just want to I want to pick out a couple of things that Michael's just said about resilience. You don't always get that. I remember going to West Ham. I mean, it was literally last week when they played Manchester United. They won 2-0. Cresswell got a goal there as well. Brilliant free kick. I spoke to Declan Rice afterwards and he said the feel-good factor behind the scenes is amazing at the moment. He was so bright and so positive about everything. And it's taken a while to get to that point, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it does take a while. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. You know, it takes time, it takes training, it takes players understanding the philosophy, and Pellegrini's been there now. This is his second season. I think the individual players that they've recruited are getting better and stronger, and with that comes consistency, and it comes that desire to want to continue to win and get performances. And I think the way that West Ham have started the season, it's kind of a little look at how they're going to, you know, compete and play this season. If they keep on doing the same things, if they stay humble, if they keep training hard, if they keep on improving. And, you know, Declan Rice, what an amazing young man he is. Not just as a player, but the way he comes across, like you mentioned earlier, he seems bright, full of positivity. You know, he come under a lot of flack when he changed his nationality from Ireland to England. That's bravery, because a lot of people would have squirreled that and thought, you know what, I'll get too much crap for this. I'm just going to stay with Ireland. And then not being happy and thought, what if, you know, what if later down the line? So I think that takes a lot of bravery. And listen, my mum's Irish. I could have played for Ireland as well. So, you know, I was a bit gutted that he did leave Ireland, because he would have been a huge, huge player for the country. But I think he's made the right decision. And, you know, now he's in that squad. Now he's performing week in, week out in the Premier League. He's going to be excellent for England in the future, but excellent for West Ham now. And, you know, you look at Mark Noble in there. What an amazing role model he is for young players coming through.
Game day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.